A man with an amazing resume, but as you might recall, at the Super Bowl, he requested that he simply be introduced as the man who will forever have the title of first guest on the CBS Sports Network simulcast. That said, he's also an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. He is the host of Be More Opinionated podcast. Jason Lockenfora, back in the jungle. Jason, what's up? How are you?
What's going on, Romy?
My man, good to have you back. So, JLC, this week you were in Atlanta for the NFL's Quarterback Coaching Summit. Before we get into the details of it, exactly what is the summit and what was the thinking behind it?
Well, I mean, obviously there is a dearth of African-American or Latino coaches in the NFL at a head coaching level. I think we're down to just four now. People of color as head coaches, just a couple of offensive coordinators, and just a couple of general managers. And the numbers have been trending sort of in the opposite direction of what you would expect, you know, in 2019. So different people have been trying to sort of get at this issue in different ways. And in recent years, it's been fairly obvious that owners are looking for that next Kyle Shanahan, that next Adam Gase, that next Sean McVay. So they've been going through certain sort of networks and pipelines of coaches who have play calling and quarterback experience. Well, as I said, that there aren't many, hardly any, African-American play callers and sort of quarterback gurus on that side of the ball. Not that they don't exist, just that they haven't been given a chance at the NFL level. And so this was sort of one attempt to try to identify, develop, cultivate, help network, and sort of get this group more exposure for this group of men who are doing that sort of job at the pro level, at the college level, you know, sort of across the board. So Doug Williams and Shaq Harris, former Grambling quarterbacks, former NFL quarterbacks, longtime personnel men, started working on this last year through the Black College Hall of Fame. The NFL got more involved this year, and for 2 days, basically, it was an opportunity for this group of around 30 or so younger coaches, less experienced coaches, to be around general managers, to be around head coaches, to learn from them through symposiums. Jim Caldwell basically gave these guys a 300-page document. You know, like, this is how I prepare for a head coaching interview. Like, literally gave it to them. Like, guys were literally giving plays and basically giving playbooks to these guys to try to make them as best prepared as possible for if and when these opportunities arise. But ultimately, it's the decision makers, general managers, owners, a group of men who are, frankly, decidedly white, who are the gatekeepers. And there is some thought as well that until the constitution of the gatekeepers changes, then maybe we won't reach a point where the coaching sidelines and the GM boxes are representative of what we see in the locker rooms in terms of the demographics.
It's a really good idea. We'll see what results from that. Jason Lockenfora is joining us. Now, that's one of the issues which is impacting the entire league, and then there are issues which impact individual teams. In a piece that you wrote for CBSSports.com, you talk about the Patriots and their offseason. Given everything that's happened and all the changes, including the retirement of Rob Gronkowski, the departure of Brian Flores, are they going to just keep rolling, or is this the year that it finally catches up with them?
I can't bet against them yet. Brady's still there. Belichick's still there. Robert Kraft is still overseeing the day-to-day duties as the owner. Now, maybe he won't be doing that for all 16 games. We'll see what, you know, what comes of the NFL's investigation into his off-field matters. I think the division's better, Jim, but I can't vouch for anybody else until, you know, somebody's got to at least start to run before I say that they could sprint for 16 weeks and keep something close to pace with the Patriots, but I think they'll do it differently. I think the equation that we saw down the stretch, which was a lot of unbalanced lines, a lot of heavy jumbo packages, a lot of running the ball down people's throats to eventually be able to pass it, keeping Tom Brady to 25, 35-ish attempts per game, I think that's probably who they are, who they'll continue to be. Will it be as effective without Gronk being that dominant tight end inline blocker? I don't know. But I still think they'll find a way to win more weeks than not.
Jason Lockenfora joining us. They always do, right? Now, what about the Steelers? They have undergone a makeover this offseason. You have the departure of Antonio Brown. You have the official departure of Le'Veon Bell. How do you think Pittsburgh shows up this year? And then as a follow, JLC, how significant is this season for Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, I think this is a very different feeling, and as we head to, deeper into the summer in Pittsburgh, and they'll start their they'll start their season in Latrobe at training camp as they always do. It is a little different. There is some uncertainty in the air. There are some guys who you could pencil in combined for 3,000 plus yards from scrimmage and probably 25 touchdowns, just if they're healthy at the start of every season. And Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, who aren't there anymore. You've got Ben thrust even into a bigger light in terms of leadership, how he handles a locker room, how he conducts himself, how he comports with teammates, interpersonal dynamics, chemistry. All that's under question, and certainly this team has frayed the last 2 years. There's no two ways about it, and Mike Tomlin is under more pressure than he's been since he established himself as a head coach in Pittsburgh. Over a decade ago. So I don't know what that's going to bring out in them. I don't know how that's going to shake out. I think it's a pretty tough division. I think Baltimore, it's not sexy, but it's pretty effective, and I don't think they're going to reinvent the wheel with Lamar. I think they won 6 or 7 games last year doing certain things that are going to remain their hallmarks, and I think the Cleveland Browns on paper are for real. So I don't know, Jim. I'm sort of worried about the Steelers a little bit, to be honest with you. I think they'll still be a good team. They're always a good team. I'm not sure they'll be a great team.
Jason Lockenfora joining us for a few more moments. All right, then, what about Dallas? As long as we're talking about significant seasons, the Cowboys have got some decisions to make when it comes to contracts, Jason, for Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper. Do you think that Jerry Jones is willing to give them all what they want, or is he going to try and play some hardball?
Well, I think some of their demands are probably viewed in the marketplace as a little extreme. Now, Jerry has had a tendency in the past to overpay guys at times who he sort of falls in love with or who he really wants to succeed. And let's face it, they want that Dak Prescott pick to look like a franchise-changing sage move. And he's been a very effective quarterback. I don't know that he's an upper echelon of quarterback. I don't know that he extrapolates to being truly an upper-level quarterback, but his demands are upper-level. Ezekiel Elliott is sort of the stir that's the straw that stirs the drink on offense, but, look at what just happened to Todd Gurley. And, are you going to pay him before you absolutely have to, given the off-field stuff and just given the nature of that position and how guys are churned up and spit out? And Amari Cooper, you've got this 6-game stretch where he looks like, Randy Moss, and you've got the rest of his career where he's looked more like a Robin to somebody else's Batman. So none of them are easy. And look, Byron Jones might be as important as any of those guys, given that I think defense will have to be their calling card, and he's banged up right now, and he doesn't have a long-term contract. So I don't think the Cowboys even know exactly how this is all going to go. I think it will come down to some of these players blinking as we get into late July and saying bird in hand now, versus 16-game injury risk. And I believe they'll get a couple of them done when it's all said and done, and they still have that franchise tag moving forward to secure the services of somebody else for one more year. But I don't know that if you gave them a crystal ball, they'd tell you exactly how it's going to sort out.
GLC, one last thought. One more issue the league is looking at and coming to terms with, of course, is gambling. So when the league and individual teams look at legalized sports gambling, what kind of thoughts do they have?
They've got sugar plums dancing in their heads.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of dollar signs, a lot of leprechauns dancing, holding, gold doubloons and the coins overflowing, a pot of gold. It's just a matter of when, really. That's what it is. Those revenue streams are there. The league knows they're there. They have to be judicious about when they dive in full-fledged and when they start having an official real-time statistic of the NFL and an official, bettings parlor of the NFL, and when they start lending their name to all this, because, once there's millions of dollars on the line, you can't say, oh, yeah, that sack, that on Sunday we said belonged to Justin Houston. Yeah, now on Tuesday we're saying that was really, D. Ford's. Like, it's it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle. So the league is continuing to work on these issues, and they've got committees that are dedicated to it. But make no mistake, the sponsorships are coming. At some point, I think there'll be gambling, you know, betting powers within stadiums. Teams are going to have their own sponsorships. There's going to be league-level sponsorships. What do they do with real-time stats? Do they sell that off to somebody else for billions of dollars so that they have all that proprietary information? Or do they make it available to all these different gambling houses? Or do they keep it for themselves? And you can go to NFL.com and bet on who's going to run the fastest route this week, who's going to throw, you know, who's going to leap the highest to catch a ball, you know, all these sort of different ancillary gambling situations that don't exist now. But let's face it, people will bet on which cockroach gets across the street the fastest, right? I mean, so, yeah, it is an untapped, brave new world for them. And if it doesn't happen by the start of this season in full thrust, I certainly expect it would by the start of next.
It's coming. He's an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. Host of Be More Opinionated podcast, Jason Lockenfora. JLC, thanks so much. Great to have you back.
Thank you, bud. Have a good one.
You too. Jason Lockenfora.